Ladies and gentlemen, we'll move to the part of the question and answers. I once read a book about, entitled What Presidents Should Know. This book was very enlightening to me because they say, well, presidents of today has to know at least a little bit of everything in order to be able to make choice, proper choices. The world now is more complex, and there is a need for leaders to know. So I decided, after reading the book, to write a book about what parliamentarians should know. Because by the end of the day, parliamentarians are the representatives of the people in decision-making. And yes, they should come from the people, whether they are scientists or non-scientists, literate or illiterate, because they represent the people. But for the parliament to be the balance of power in any country, parliamentarians should know some basic things, otherwise they cannot make decisions. So I decided to write a book about what parliamentarians should do. I started the book, and I will invite the panelists and attendees here to use my email and write to me if they need, if they want, if they are excited about the fact that we should all contribute in deciding what parliamentarians in our countries should know. Now I'll open the floor for questions and answers, but I am warning my panelists here, honorable panelists, that each one of them, by the end of this session, will give one recommendation for me as moderator of how he sees the way to empower science in the parliament and empower parliaments to affect science in his country. We'll start by question. Sir, kindly introduce yourself, and you can ask a question or you can add a comment.
First, I would like to thank all the panelists for their presentations. My name is Sharif Al-Nagdi. I'm from Egypt. My question is for the panel, and maybe specifically for Dr. Badrawi himself. So we have been talking about the bridging between, as Ernesto kindly mentioned, we were talking about the bridging with the parliamentarians and the scientists. And the problem that we are suffering from is the lacking of this bridging. So we have been talking about the parliamentarians from one side and the scientists from the other side, but we didn't talk much about the government, which is the third element of the triangle. So from your point of view, what do you think the government role in bridging these two sectors, and what these two sectors should do to force or to push the government to do their role? Thanks.
Thank you. Khulood.
Yes, please.
Khulood Dajani.
Thank you. I'm very happy to see five women versus four men on the panel. It was not orchestrated, definitely, but this is something to be proud of. But when we look to all parliaments and so on, we hardly can see women, especially in the developing world. And if parliaments represent people, we know that populations around the world have 50% plus minus 2% women. So why nobody talks about representing women through women? And we have quotas and so on. I'm saying that because we're just talking about how can we influence parliament. And you talk about scientists who tell always the truth. And do people really want to listen to the truth? Unfortunately, between scientists and politicians, we have the truth versus diplomacy. And there's a definition to diplomacy. It's the way to tell a person to go to hell, and he will be looking forward to the trip. So how can we really balance between those who tell the truth and don't have time to bring votes versus those who have all the time to mobilize voices by just making people happy and making, not listening to the real needs of the people, but meeting the demands of the people to keep their chairs. It's very challenging situation.
Thank you, Khulod.
You know, it's a story of politics.
We'll need a genius politician to
look for women somewhere
to differentiate between those who are telling the truth or not.
Because maybe you can also illustrate a little bit about parliamentarians, because all what you need is to have certain age and to be free of crimes. So do we need a special IQ? Do we need something? And unfortunately, it's left, and those people decide for the generations to come.
Thank you, Khulod. Any other question from the floor? Well, the first question was related to... please.
Okay. Hi, thank you. Peter McGrath from IAP, the Global Network of Science Academies.
Can you come forward, please?
Mr. Lights.
Thank you.
I represent a global network of science academies, and you asked at the beginning, or I think halfway through the session, of how to get science advice to parliamentarians, and also how to get scientific knowledge to the public. So, and I would propose that many countries, the mechanism is there already, and that is the National Academies of Science. Many countries, I mean, we're in a wonderful building here, it's very well supported through Acts of Parliament, I would imagine. Other countries, the academies are struggling because they don't have sort of national support. This is perhaps an option for parliamentarians to really support their national academies. And in return, those academies, they are independent scientists, working, very credible scientists, working on cutting-edge science and can give advice on those issues. And many academies also, as well as our network, get involved in science literacy campaigns, so they are also reaching out to the public to explain science to the wider public. And I think supporting the academies, and they can also undertake that sort of task for the governments as well, is another thing that can be considered.
Thank you. Any other comments from the floor? Sir?
Thank you. I'm Manzoor Sumro from Pakistan and representing an organization called ECO Science Foundation, which is a 10 countries science foundation. The question I'm putting is, with the experience of working with parliamentarians as a head of national organization for a number of years and at provincial level as well, does the panel think that scientific community also needs to participate in the politics, so to be in the parliament and influence other colleagues? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. My name is Abdi Sambat from Morocco. I just want to add a little bit of the question that was raised, how can we make scientists...
Can you come forward?
Yeah, sure. So how can we make scientists communicate with parliamentarians? Today, the Prime Minister of Romania resigned because this week there was an event that probably we all know, 32 young people died. And the reason why he resigned, because there was a social mobility. There were thousands of people stand out, and they were against the corruption that's going on in Romania. So my point is that one of the ways scientists can approach parliamentarians and decision makers is through the social mobility. Because one of the things that politicians hate is that to have angry citizens knocking on the door of their offices, which means that if we make citizens, people in general, aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it, then it becomes part of daily cause. And then that would raise the awareness of politicians to put that on their electoral agenda. Now, one of the main causes, or one of the main slogans that politicians are using for their elections is job and employment. Now, if we raise the awareness of citizens about the value of science, then we will find this this aspect on the agenda of politicians in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, move to our panelists. And I will ask any of our panelists to, if he wishes to comment on any of the questions that has been raised. For example, the question of should we push scientific community to run into politics and become parliamentarians. Our role in the social awareness of the public about scientific issues, the importance of networks in developing a better relationship between scientists and parliament, the government role between the two sections, and the difficult question about the role of scientists in differentiating between those who tell the truth and those who are not telling the truth within the politics. These are all issues that has been raised by the floor. And women in parliament. Okay. Let's start from right to left. Oni.
Okay, so I would speak to the comment or question about parliamentarians engaging with scientists. So I think to some extent, and the market is happening in some places, so maybe to give the example of South Africa. So within that, we have the parliamentary portfolio committee.
You're good. Mr. Salt, would you like to comment?
On what the European Parliament actually is doing on how to engage scientists, there's one very good example that we are managing is the MEP or Parliamentarian Scientist Pairing Scheme, where selected scientists can pair with members of the European Parliament, and they can shadow them in their parliamentary work during a week. And then parliamentarians can go into the laboratories or other types of scientific work where they can meet really the conditions the scientists are working in. So this pairing scheme provides advantages for both parts, for both sides, meaning that parliamentarians will, or hopefully will, better understand what scientists need, and also scientists would better understand how parliamentarians can better understand science and their evidence in their legislative work. Thank you.
Thank you. in a loi.
Yeah, thank you very much. As the Thai Parliament now done by National Assembly under the Constitution of Kingdom of Thailand, now National Assembly has appointed a committee on mass communication, science, technology, and information to consider organic law bill, carry out activity, investigate or study any matter concerning mass communication, telecommunication, and broadcasting. We know that science and technology should not be confined to only scientists, technicians, and engineering or scientific institutions, but it must outreach to society of its citizens and human. Thank you.
Thank you. Ernesto?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to react to the proposal that scientists should become parliamentarians, and I fully agree with that idea. It's part of the a good discussion that has been going on during the forum about also all the alternative careers for scientists that are beyond research. So we have been discussing science diplomacy, we've been discussing science advice mechanisms. Well, let's get to the parliament, scientists. And also, if you don't want to become a parliamentarian, get interested in parliament. And a little bit as Rana was saying, understand parliament at least, and then perhaps go for an internship to parliament and develop those capacities to dialogue with parliamentarians if you don't want to really become a parliamentarian.
Aisha?
Okay, thank you. I think it's very important also to strengthen, to create the committee within each parliament, committee for science and technology. This is the gap that we have in our member states. Some countries have this committee on science and technology involved in the parliament to guide and to help for the promoting of legislation on science, technology, and innovation.
Thanks.
So I think strengthening science diplomacy and developing good governance and providing expertise to policymakers to assist these policymakers in the formulation and the implementation, monitoring and evaluation of science, technology, and innovation policy and program is crucial. So I think we have also to this policymaker, the policymakers has to be always, assisted by different stakeholders, by scientists, by media, by civil society, just to really to contribute for the legislation and for really promoting science technology in the country and innovation.
Thank you. Hurtado.
Yeah, in order to answer many questions, we need to say a couple of things. In the following many years, there was a weak political will and a slow degeneration of the sector. I think this is this great problem in my country, in many countries around the world. But we need to do in the parliamentary work, we need many laws to strengthen the relationship between state, researchers, and community. And then we can produce a new thought about this topic. And then we need not only in the parliamentary sector, we need also in the in the executive power. For instance, we need in all countries a Ministry of Science, Innovation and Technology. Then we can speak about these topics and the high level in the politicians in the around the world. I think it's the best way, the integration for all sectors. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Lilia?
Firstly, Mr. Chairman, recommendation to your book.
Okay, I'm all ears.
For parliamentarians. I think parliamentarians should have to create permanent platform for communication with scientists. For example, through social network. I do that. It's very helpful. And it's provided to be for politician to be not famous, but yes, they have access to you to provide with necessary information and with expertise, of course. So I think that's very good instrument for every politician. Secondly, about the political participation of scientists. I'm sure scientists have to be more active. They are very deep in their work. And that's why sometimes they are silent. And I think we have in our parliaments just a few scientists because they when they become a politician, active politician, they can't to be active scientists. So it's a contradiction between this way of life. That's why we as politicians, it's our obligation to bring scientists to the making decision, especially when we approved laws for the long perspective, for 10, 20 years. That's why I was talking about this platform which we make in Ukraine now. And about women participation and gender equality, I understand this problem very good. Now we have in Ukrainian parliament 12% of women, 12% of MPs are women. But it's a historical maximum. And in science, we have the same problem. Just about 20% of scientists are women. So how to protect them and how to bring more women into in the politic and in science? I think it's another question, and we can speak a long time about that. This is a very problematic topic, but gender equality in science, it's a very good team for a separate discussion in the framework of conference. And last one, about National Academy. Because in Ukraine we have very strong National Academy of Science. It's it has more than 170 institutions. And it's obligatory for our parliament to give for the academy our draft law for expertise. Mm-hmm. And we take this expertise and pay attention for this expertise, especially for the big law in different branches. Thank you.
Great. Rana?
All right. So this is new to me, and I'm going to share my perspective about this. To me, I think for scientists to participate in parliament, or to hold parliament members accountable for science, those two things, depends on freedom of expression and feeling that really their voice counts. And since this is the World Science Forum, I think in many developing countries, the citizen, the normal average citizen, whether scientist or not, does not feel that their voice will be heard and that, yes, that the members of parliament will be accountable. And in order to foster, that's a mentality and an attitude that needs to be changed. And such change doesn't happen overnight. It's about a long-term, long-vision change. And I believe it starts from the home and the school at an early age, where the children are brought up that their opinion is important, that they can hold others accountable if they do not deliver what they ask for. And this will manifest as they grow older in real life. And how to do that? This is changing mentality and attitude. I think one practical way, is to encourage children to read. The more the children read, the more they can learn about other people's experiences in other parts of the world and other cultures, and this will give them opportunities to draw from, to actually implement in their communities, and they can draw from those stories the courage and the confidence to actually be those people they read about and start change within their communities.
Thank you, Rana. But the second round is starting by yourself, from left to right, which I'm asking panelists to give one sentence of recommendation for this panel. So you're doing my job instead of me. One recommendation for strengthening the science and technology in Parliament and Parliament participation with the scientific arena.
I think one important thing is maybe to suggest the controversial issues that arise in Parliament to schools and university and education systems, and to have the young generation discuss it and raise those recommendations to Parliament, and just to get a perspective from that age group.
Very good. Ilya?
I already mentioned about necessity to for every parliamentarian to make a group in social network which involved scientists who are interested in this topic which is important for this parliamentarian. It's very useful instrument and necessary today nowadays.
Thank you.
We need to create an institutional framework capable of managing the flows of financial resources and knowledge while promoting growth in the country's scientific community as a fundamental pillar.
Okay. Good. Aisha?
I think it's crucial to provide the expertise to parliamentarians and assist them in the formulation, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation of science, technology, and innovation policies.
Excellent. Ernesto?
Thank you. Building on Lydia's proposal, I think parliaments should look at good practices and establish sustainable mechanisms that are permanent mechanisms to routinely obtain science advice that so that it goes beyond the individual tendency of one or another parliamentarian, but that really parliaments establish internal mechanisms for that.
Our network is to improve organized infrastructure of science, technology, and innovation for commercial application, just for our network. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Just one sentence in sort of recommendation. European Parliament recently created the European Parliamentary Research Service, and its motto is empowering through knowledge. So this is what I can offer now. Thank you.
Okay, so the one thing I will just repeat myself, because it's so important, but from the parliamentarians, I think engaging with the young academies and ensuring that there is that that avenue to engage. And from a scientist perspective and the scientific environment, I think the notion of civic engagement of students is something that is not tapped into. It speaks to the public advocacy and understanding that students are powerful voters of the population that can actually significantly sway public opinion. And so really engaging them around the critical issues and having a scientific environment that supports translation of research into policy briefs that are actually understandable.
All right, I think by this we're coming to conclude the session. And Diana, I will do something that is non-orthodox. Usually with the end of sessions, everybody goes home and that's it. And I will ask you, having all the communication of the panelists and myself, to re-communicate with our panelists in order to frame what we have said in this session and make it fruitful as a recommendation for the forum. So it's not the end of it by speaking and answering questions, but I think we should communicate for further development of this discussion. Thank you very much for your excellent presentations and participation, and thank you for the audience who stayed that long in the end of the day. And I hope that the session was fruitful to all of us. I'm sorry because I'm closing, and I will ask our panelists to have a photo with Diana, so we confirm our presence in this, because I'm going to contact you and I'm going to pick in your brains in my book. Okay? Thank you very much. The session is adjourned.